Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a city council meeting for May 23rd, 2017. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Baker, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing quorum are Scarborough, Cutterback, Camp, and Gable.
Thank you. And we had heard from Councilmember Rasmussen last week or at an earlier meeting that he would not be here this evening, so we'll go ahead and consider his absences excused unless there's an objection. We will go ahead and note for the record for Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Davis when they enter chambers. Councilmember Camp, we'll go ahead and call on you since you're next after Hanford.
Sir,
will you please move some pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on the agenda this evening is a proclamation for the Skykomish Valley Indian Education 13th Annual Traditional Powwow. This is something that started when I was a council member 13 years ago. So this is cool that we're still reading this in today. Proclamation. And this is the 13th annual one, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the proclamation, 13th Annual Traditional Powwow. Whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan Public Schools Skykomish Indian Education Program is a federally funded program that focuses on academic support and cultural activities. And whereas the program serves Native American, Alaska Native students, preschool through high school age in Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan public schools. And whereas it is valuable that residents of the city of Monroe be aware of the importance of Native American, Alaska Native education programs. And whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan public schools Skykomish Valley Indian education program and supporting nonprofit parent organization are sponsoring a unique ceremony on Saturday, May 27th, 2017, titled 13th Annual Traditional Powwow, and whereas partnership, awareness, and cooperation are important themes of the traditional powwow. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby thank the Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program and encourage the residents and businesses in Monroe to participate in the 13th Annual Traditional Powwow on Saturday, May 27th, 2017. So, Ms. Morris, would you like to come forward and say a few words about the powwow? And you can go ahead and bring your whole group up.
Thank you for this opportunity once again to showcase our program. We have cultural activities and educational activities. We serve in a given year over 100 students. And these are some of the students that were just at our Culture Center over at Leaders in Learning doing Alex Math online. And they're are real diehard. Some of them are actually in a reading program as well, and they do an excellent job of participation in both Alice Math, reading, and our cultural part of our program, and community service. We do the rest stop, coffee rest stop up at Smoky Point, and I'm the federally funded portion of the program leader and the family liaison coordinator. And we have, I'd like to introduce Kenita Sherman, who's the president this year of our nonprofit organization. And if you press a few.
Okay. I've been involved with the program, as has Mars, since the beginning. And our children went through the program. This is my daughter, Brandy, and now my grandson, Jackson, is in the program also. So it's just been a wonderful continuation of learning and finding all our family, our own family of culture.
And also, Cheyenne Colbert, can you say a word? I'll get another multi-generation family in the program.
Yes, I was doing the program when I was young, growing up, and now I'm at the area event. We're from the Suquamish tribe, and it's great to have the kids learn about all the cultural things. They got to make flutes a couple years back through some of the grants. It's a great program, great opportunity.
And I want to introduce a few of our kids.
I'm Jack and I'm from the Squamish tribe. I go to Chain Lake Elementary and I'm in third grade.
Pass it on if you don't want to.
My name is Aisha and my child is
I am Mariana. I am in Toronto. I go to Dutch Hill in a tent.
My name is Gary. I go to Breakfast Middle School and I'm from the Snowball Patron.
I am Janine. I am from Willow Drive. I am 10 and I go to Stockwell Elementary School.
Okay. I'm Kenneth Dalek and I'm from Willow Drive and I go to Stockwell Middle School and I'm 12.
Okay. Well, thank you all. We'd like to, some of you like to take some flyers to pass out.
Just a quick thought while you're thinking here, sitting. At the very first powwow, we had the little elders come and welcome us to their land because we are tribes from all over the country and this is their land, so they came and they did a prayer and they welcomed us. And Stan Jones, who was the tribal chairman at that time, mentioned that where the flagpole is on Main Street, the beautiful flag is, there used to be a longhouse built. And his relatives lived in that many years ago. So not every time I drive by there and I see that flag there, I just see the longhouse.
And this is Craig Young, my husband. He's our drum teacher and has been involved.
Be sure you come to the powwow. Free dry bread, free buffalo stew, lots of dancing, drumming. You will be recognized. Anybody on the council will be recognized as a dignitary.
Yeah.
I hope to see you.
Yeah, if you come before grand entry at 1, come up to the speaker table and let us know you're there. So you can be part of the opening. That would be awesome.
Thank you. We have a couple of questions or comments, and I also have this for you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. I just want to say that when I first moved to Monroe, I attended once, just out of curiosity. It was one of the most fascinating events I've ever seen. So thank you again for putting it on. And thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let me go ahead and
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a proclamation for Memorial Day, which is May 29, 2017. Whereas on Memorial Day we pause to honor the fallen heroes who died in service to our country, with heavy hearts. Go ahead and close the door and then we'll restart. So proclamation, Memorial Day, May 29th, 2017. Whereas on Memorial Day, we pause to honor the fallen heroes who died in service to our country, and with heavy hearts and a sense of profound gratitude, we mourn these men and women who were willing to give their lives to protect its promise. And whereas in solemn reflection, we remember the women and men who fought to preserve and protect our values, and their legacy is carried forward by a new generation of servicemen and women, and all who strive to shape a more perfect America, and their enormous sacrifices continue to make our opportunity possible. And whereas we owe all those who sacrifice in our name a tremendous debt, including mothers, fathers, daughters, and sons, spouses, and partners who shoulder the weight of unthinkable loss, and courageous children in whom the legacies of their parents live on. And whereas we will never forget the valor and distinction of the men and women who defend freedom, justice, and peace, we support our troops with the resources they need to do their jobs, to never stop searching for those who have gone missing or are prisoners of war, and to continue our constant work of honoring our heroes. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize Monday, May 29th, 2017, as Memorial Day, and encourage the residents of Monroe to remember those who sacrifice their lives and those who go ahead of us to defend and pray for permanent peace. So we've got this, and we'll make certain that the American Legion gets a copy of that. Thank you. And if somebody could go ahead and open up the door, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, and if we could also please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford entered at approximately 7:10 during the reading of the proclamation for Memorial Day. Thank you. All right. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation on the Sky to Sound Water Trail Design Workshops. And we have tonight Nick Bennett and Kevin Teague from the Snohomish County Parks, Recreation, and do you have a new title now? Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department.
Yes, we wanted to make it good and long. Good evening, thank you so much for having us. Do I need to state name for the record?
No, I just did.
You just did, okay.
Yes, thank you.
We are just really excited to be here tonight to talk with you briefly about this great project, and really we want to acknowledge and thank you all for your continued partnership with Snohomish County and the work that Monroe does to contribute to our vibrant tourism landscape. My colleague and I are going to sort of divide our little presentation. Kevin's going to provide a brief overview of the proposed water trail, and I'm going to talk briefly about the workshop and how that came to occur, give you a little bit of background on the rural tourism workshops and how those played a part in this and the resulting ideas of trail towns. And then I will also talk a little bit about how the workshop will support Monroe in its effort to connect its visitor district to the proposed Sky to Sound water trail. And then Kevin will go through the areas addressed in the workshop to give you a little bit more background and clarity and some hope for outcomes of the design process. And we'll do some Q&A at the end if you all would like. So I'll turn it over to Kevin.
Is that in focus?
No.
So we thank you for the opportunity to address you about the Sky to Sound Water Trail project and the great things that are happening there. Just to give you a quick overview on the water trail, it is approximately 84 miles and it starts in the Wild Sky Wilderness. It includes both the north and the south fork of the Skykomish and then proceeds all the way out to Puget Sound. Breaks nicely into three definable sections, upper, middle, and lower, and each section has a different character. In the upper section, this is where you have class 5 whitewater. This is includes, like I said, the North Fork and the South Fork. The water trail extends about 10 miles east of the town of Index, and then on the South Fork, it starts at the town of Skykomish. In the upper section, this is where you have the Class 5 whitewater, commonly recreated by folks in rafts, river kayaks, these are the crazy people, and it's a lot of fun recreation up in that area. Also very popular with fishermen. The middle section stretches from about Big Eddy, which is just east of Gold Bar, to Monroe, and this is a real transition area. You have a little bit of Class 2, Class 3 whitewater, and then also some flatwater sections. Very popular for kayaking, canoeing, fishing. Drift boats are common. You do see some jet boats, and then of course people floating the river, inner tubes, and small watercraft. In the lower section, this is from Monroe out to Puget Sound. This is mostly flat water, and you guys are all very familiar with the river, I'm sure. But you have power boats, sea kayaks commonly use this area, as well as canoes. Also very popular, especially during humpy season, for fishing. And then the water trail extends out to Jetty Island, in Puget Sound. So that's the basic overview of what the water trail covers, the area that we're dealing with. And I'm going to have Anita talk about the trail town connection.
Okay, so in 2016, we hosted, I don't know if many of you remember, I know we're trying to crowd our workshops into busy schedules. Some of you, I think, were able to come here. You were able to welcome our group. We held a very intensive 7 full-day session for rural tourism in the valley, and we had community members, businesses, nonprofits, and elected leaders join us in this process. And together, we visioned a region, and we envisioned our communities working together to support and shape their own type of tourism, what they wanted to see for their communities. We learned about ecotourism. We learned about what visitors like about small town experiences. We looked at the types of outdoor recreation demographics that are coming to the area. We really tried to help the communities understand and businesses understand who's coming and what sorts of experiences they're seeking and how communities can work together to support that effort. The big takeaway at the end was a regional vision and some steps to move this process forward. And it was a very well thought out idea that's based on a planning framework that's known as Trail Towns. And the idea is to connect visitor districts to long regional shared trail systems to help communities and visitor districts position themselves in a new way. To try and is often a trail town planning framework is often accompanied by a Main Street program as a revitalization sort of a tool, and it helps people understand and think about their downtowns. This is the businesses as well as the visitors through the lens of what people who are coming on human powered means might need from your town. So they want to think about things like laundry, shopping, post offices, and places to store their gear, how to walk to town, and how to walk from town back to the trail. And so there are some nice implications for events, for all different types of interactions with folks. And so it's a comprehensive, long-term kind of effort. And so the design workshop that we are undertaking in June is going to be a step toward that. And so we wanted to work with our community members and our leaders to help them sort of start to imagine some new connectivity. We know that downtown in Monroe kind of is back to the river, but you have some wonderful and heavily used access points there. So we wanted to just do some conceptual sketches and drawings that you all can use in the future, maybe to continue conversations as the community grows and the downtown continues to revitalize. It looks wonderful, by the way. It really is such a pleasure to walk the streets down there. So this effort is hosted by Snohomish County, but it is a byproduct of our relationship with the National Park Service. We're in a two-year technical planning service grant, which we wrote to help us with planning for the Sky to Sound Water Trail. And the National Park Service has a long-standing relationship with the American Society of Landscape Architects. And the Washington chapter is the one that we're working with. And every year, because of this long-standing relationship, WASLA, the Washington chapter, picks a National Park Service project to perform pro bono design services for. And so this year, our project got chosen here in Snohomish County. And so we selected the city of Sultan and the city of Monroe, because both of you have such vibrant downtowns that are very, very close to water access. So we wanted to bring these talented folks together with local teams to just conceive and conceptualize and to draw, talk about signage, talk about safety, talk about amenities and ways that people in town could find their way to water access and vice versa. And Kevin will talk a little bit more about that. So this is a powerful, this has been a kind of a powerful process, this idea of everyone in the valley coming from Snohomish all the way up to Index, and we even included Skycomish. This attachment to this beloved river system, everyone has always been felt a great deep kinship, and this runs through the heart, as you know, of ancient heritage lands. A lot of important interpretive information and opportunities to be had, to be told about this place. Lots and lots of partnerships have evolved from this. And so as people have started to think about a proposed water trail and attaching their community, associating their visitor district, and then certainly this is not what everyone will be considering Monroe for, but for visitors, this has been a really powerful connection, and it's served to bridge in new ways between these communities. So I keep feeling like I want to say, does anybody have any questions? But I think we're going to save those.
Just about it. So what I usually do is that as you hit the end of the slide, just glance over at me, and if I've got a light, I'll go ahead and let you know. And two things. One, sorry, for the record, please let the record show that Councilmember Davis Center-Chambers at 7:14. So he came in just at the beginning of the presentation. Hi, Councilmember Davis. And then Councilmember Camp had a question. So, Councilmember Camp.
What's clarification? What were the acronyms?
Okay, so National Park Service,
okay.
NPS, and WASLA is the Washington State Society of Landscape Architects. But that's not spelled exactly right, Society.
Okay.
It's
the Washington chapter of the American Society of Landscape Architects.
A little bit of confusion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
So when we get this group of pro bono designers together, some outcomes that we're looking for, just to have them focus their attention on how to create pathways connecting the downtown to the river and the river to downtown. We'll look at, have them look at signage potentially for how those interactions happen. And then we're going to have them specifically look at Al Borland Park and the Lewis Street boat launch. At Al Borland, we want to look at access for one, but also consider ways to deter encampments, how to improve the day use areas, and just basic site enhancement that would enhance the water trail experience and promote the waterfront. And then also at Lewis Street, look at ways that non-motorized boats could be stored so people could actually come into town and utilize services there, as well as site enhancements that would help help the site. We are going to take them on a bus tour. And Mr. Chief, just real quick, as part of this, you're going to be looking at El Borland Park, and this answers my question. On the tour, you're going to show them both the entrance at the Lewis Street Bridge. Are you also going to be showing them the entrance on the northeasterly side of El Borland Park?
Northeasterly side?
Yeah,
yes.
It's where the word Monroe is right now, right above the number 3.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, that's, okay. We will, and we'll actually take them back into that area, down to that very end of the gravel drive. So we'll take them on a bus tour, and
we'll be coming from Sultan because that's where the workshop will start. We'll drive in on Highway 2 through the commercial area and then get on Highway 522 so they can look over and just get a feel for the town. They can see the Frylands residential area. They can see the fairgrounds. And then come back on West Main Street through the historic downtown area and then out to Al Borland Park. Go out there, we'll we'll have them get out and walk around on the shoreline there. And then we'll come back and then go through the historic downtown and then go south on Lewis Street down to the Lewis Street Boat Launch. Take them back under 203, and so that they can see the connection with Lewis Street Park, which is right up there, right in that spot. And then we'll take them back to Sultan on the Ben Howard Road again, just to show them so they get a full feel for the water trail, you know, what the river is like, and then to see these specific locations. So you know Al Borland and you know Lewis Street, you know where they are and how they relate to downtown. This is another view of that. At the Lewis Street Boat Launch, you know, it's a Department of Fish and Wildlife property. It parks about 50 cars in there, possible, and there are vault toilets there. Easy vehicle access in and out, and it's a very popular fishing spot, as you all know. At Al Borland, we'll show them that it's an island with Woods Creek on the north side there, heavily treed, and also this great access point into Lewis Street Park. There's some other shots from Al Borland where you have both low bank and then a little bit higher, but easy access to the river along there. So the workshop will be June 2nd and 3rd, on June 3rd there'll be an open house at the end where the design teams will share the things that they came up with, and so the community and you all certainly are invited to that open house on June 3rd, which is a Saturday evening. So, Anik, did you want to add anything?
We are going to be doing a kickoff dinner on Friday evening. If anyone is interested in attending, we'd love to have you. I think the goal is to make sure that these folks are really well cocooned with local folks, because they're from areas beyond here and they may not be familiar with the area. So if you have time on Friday evening, then again, we would love to have you come and hear the presentations by the teams. We're really excited about that, and so that would be our offering to you, to include you in the process. And Jim will be on one of our teams, as will Mike. We really want to acknowledge Mike and Ben and Mayor Thomas for coming to speak to the kickoff dinner, I believe. Yeah. So are there any questions about this?
Councilmember, not Rasmussen, Scarborough.
The dinner is the 1st of June, I take it?
It's on Friday evening, June 2nd. Yeah.
And where is the workshop?
And this is all going to happen up at the Mountain View Church in Sultan. And we will, we sent out a media release with addresses and all of those things, but we can certainly follow up with you and make sure. Did you all get some of this information in your packets for this evening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And I think there should be an address, hopefully, on there as well, a little paper takeaway.
And we'll do a notice of potential quorum for that evening also. It would be helpful. Would you like RSVPs to the extent of these?
We would, yes, sir, we would.
So if you could just indicate, Councilmember Camp will be there, I'll be there, but if you could just go ahead and indicate via email to Ms. Atkinson or to issue me back.
She'll be back. Yeah.
When do you need to know?
Well, as soon as you could let us know, we'd appreciate it. But
okay. So if you just email Mr. Mosley, he'll get it to the appropriate person, whether it's Ms. Baker or Ms. Atkinson, and we'll go ahead and do a notice of potential form for that evening regardless, just in case other people show up. Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the floor. Anything further?
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know who was first. Councilmember?
He was put around
the draw. Okay.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I received the details for the 3rd open house via email. but we didn't know anything about the dinner. That was the first I heard of it. And it's not in the back end tonight. So.
You know, due to the technical nature of the programming, we needed to be really careful to not, it was originally being called Community Design Workshop, which caught people's ears. They were excited, they wanted to come. We're really trying to focus the technical groups on real planning, and so they've been very specific about their roles, so we were a little bit more closed as far as the messaging. It felt like it got a little bit away from us, but tonight I really would love to encourage you to come and participate in that, and we can send you in the morning, we can get you information but out about that, and so apologies for that. We wanted to kind of keep things sort of focused on projects, a big fun open house.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks. Thank you. Councilmember Pettibat.
This is really exciting. You know, when we were doing the comp plan workshop, one of the features that kept coming up with it was River, and that we didn't use it enough, you know, for the benefit of our town, to draw tourism and just highlight it. We didn't have, I think, real great access, so I'm excited to see what comes out of the workshop and the design. Congratulations on the grant to get pro bono. That's wonderful. Thanks for choosing Monroe.
It's been very helpful, and if I can add, with the young people that were just here, the project does have its origins and its sponsorship in tourism, but please know that this is a very important project for habitat, for culture, for sustainability. With the effort of tourism comes the responsibility of controlled and managed use, and a core component of this project is to create a concept plan which will include recommendations, and we will be including the salmon habitat basin recovery information and recommendations that are pretty detailed, so that folks who are interested in further planning and development will have recommendations about that. This is a precious resource, and so the linking these access sites together is really what the trail exists. It's trying to help people understand the characteristics of the water, to know what to expect, where to get on, where to get off, and to make those places more clear.
And so I thought it's on there that this group would also make recommendations about maybe services that were missing in our area that then you would recommend that we look at.
Well, and we hope to come for the whole region, as we're just finishing our strategic tourism plan update, and a heavy emphasis in the next 5 years will be on regional development, so that we can have several regions start to identify themselves and collectively begin to work together to support their trails, their downtown districts, their arts and culture together. And we hope that through these efforts like this that you're seeing, you guys are sort of our pilot with these design workshops, that other communities will take a hold of that. But we hope that people will be able to understand our county and what's the many, many opportunities that there are here. So you guys
thank
are...
You.
And Ms. Bennett, thank you very much. I also am excited about this. I, like you said, we have a great resource here with the river, and you know, the trees are there. It's kind of hard for us to see it and appreciate it. We need to do a lot to really improve that easterly end of downtown, so that it feels even more inviting, so that it feels inviting to get people to go into this very significant resource. So a lot of people, I think, approach it from the Lewis Street side, and you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to, you know, dovetail what this group is doing with a master planning process for, you know, for Albemarle Park, so that we can you know, help with connecting everything and make a better connection to the river. The connections, though, is important too, and coming from the Parks Department, I just want to state that we also look forward to the opportunity of connecting Monroe to Snohomish, and you know, that's something that I think is important to understand, is just connecting the cities here in the valley, and that builds into the water trail. If somebody wanted to do multi-sport as part of a long trip or something down the river and then onto a bike and over to our regional trail network. So thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you on the 2nd.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Ms. Anique Bennett had already said that she wanted to speak, and she is now gone. That was probably for the presentation. Go ahead and check her out. Jack Greenlander.
Yes.
Yes. Please come on forward and state your name and address for the record.
Sure. My name is Jack Friedlander. I live at 20048 Ambrose Place Avenue, Sydney, Maryland. It's the farm that was created, the first phase that Quiet developed back in 2002-2003. Thank you, Mayor Thomas and council members, for your time. My concern is that in the past months, I guess, I've had limited mail service at times because the mailbox next to my house, which hosts probably the mail for 10 or 12 residents of the farm, is blocked. The next door neighbor, she left her house behind her son while she's in Hawaii, and he has 10 or 12 people there living in a single-family residence. To my understanding, there's no code limiting the number of people that can reside in a single-family residence. And worse yet, there's no code or ordinance that would restrict parking in front of or near mailboxes. So back in January, I called the city to ask them to put in signage or do some enforcement regarding towing. There's no recourse because there's no ordinance, there's no code. And the mailman has actually scribbled in permanent Sharpie on the mailbox that he will discontinue mail delivery if it continues to be blocked. So there's no signage that can be installed, there's no painting on the curb, and there's no towing. I don't necessarily think the people who are doing it to be malicious. I just think they don't know any better. And this could easily be an issue for anyone trying to get their mail, not just the mailman, because the vehicles are parked so close to the mailbox that you sometimes have to squeeze in. So it seems like the city of Monroe could be vulnerable to lawsuits based on anyone with disabled access who can't get their mail. I spoke to someone in the city today, I think it might have been the city engineer, who said that in the past the council has turned down requests to this nature, so I'm before you to ask why and what can be done so that I can be guaranteed access to my mail.
Okay. So I spoke with staff earlier this evening, and I understand the last time that this came before the council was roughly 03-04. I'm sorry, that was
13.
That was a while ago. When was it?
13.
Yeah, okay, so I'm the actual last time that came forward would have been 13. So what we'll go ahead and do is we'll go ahead and put it on our extended calendar to bring back to council for discussion. It gives the council an opportunity to revisit the policy and see if that's something that they would like to make modifications to, since it's been discussed twice in the past.
From my own understanding, what was the reason for not creating an ordinance at that time?
I think staff will go through the record and look at that and get back some more information.
Is there more data I can provide that would help you guys understand the case? Or
what I would like to do is go ahead and talk to Mr. Mosley here. So we'll make certain that we get your contact information to him and get that information from you.
When should I do that? Or
what's it?
When can I do that? To speak to him like
tomorrow? Tomorrow. Yeah, so we'll make certain. Before you leave, just go ahead and talk to Pam Baker right there. She'll give you the contact information for him. For you. Yeah, for him.
Okay. All right, and is there anything you can do in the interim?
So Mr. Mosley, go ahead and follow up with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. So just a second, there are a couple of questions here from council members. So Council Member Scarborough.
Was it your email when we read it?
Yes, I sent the email 5 days ago and didn't get a response, so I wasn't sure if anyone even read it.
Yeah, I read it, and I said thank you for bringing it to our attention. Thank you for coming tonight and speaking to us, and I hope we can find some answers.
Yeah, I was just confused why it might be. Thank you. I was confused why it would be a controversial matter.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. Actually, maybe yielding to Councilmember Cutter back here. Wasn't there an issue up in
the farm where somebody's mailbox was being blocked and they said no parking sign or something? I thought it was in your neighborhood.
So I live up on Corbett Road. So I'm familiar with all the customer Gamble lives in the farm also. So it was another neighborhood that wanted an ordinance. And to be honest, I apologize. I can't remember why. There was a reason why not to have the ordinance, and staff will dig that up. But what I did suggest, because up in our neighborhood, is the neighborhood got a sign that said, do not park within 10 feet of the mailbox. And those work on our busy street. They're just posted by a resident. I took a picture and I emailed it to the, or texted it to the gentleman's neighborhood, or the gentleman who was in a different neighborhood.
Yeah, I had seen those, which is why I was hoping they would install one near me, but it turns out those were sort of done by rogue residents, right? They're,
well, I don't know if it's rogue. They
probably didn't have any authority to do it, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Nobody took them down.
Put it on, it's on my street, put it on the post box, and it's been on there forever and seems to work. And so that has worked on our street, but I know we'll bring this back and look at the data, why there was a reason why it wasn't put into effect in 13. But that might be a short-term or a solution for right now to see if it works, to put that sign up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to point out that I knew that we had addressed this one way, and it seemed to work. But the sign was purchased by
a resident.
The resident.
Yeah.
So you might want to consider that from the interim, and then we'll take it forward.
I will. Even if I do that, it's not enforceable, right? No one will be telling me.
No, but at least it gives a warning.
Okay.
It appears to work.
Councilmember Cutterback, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
Thank you.
So you said we talked to the resident.
I've spoken to both his mother and him. I have their phone numbers. I texted him the last time it happened and said, hey, looks like another vehicle from your house is blocking the mailbox, and got no response. Just a roll of the dice if it happens to be there when the mailman comes.
Okay. I know exactly where it's at. I live on Amber's.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I get my mail out of the other mailbox, though, so I don't.
Oh, you're lucky.
But I will be looking now. So I know the people, or the owner of that home, so.
Yes, she's in Hawaii. She was nice. I had no problems with her. Her son is nice, but the 10 or 12 people that live there.
Or the people that are visiting, I think probably a lot of times.
If you go by tonight, you'll see a lot of vehicles.
That's because he's makes one for the wedding.
Thank you, Councilmember.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Reminder, somebody will be in touch with you also about when that gets scheduled on the calendar, so you can come and hear the conversation. Thank you. All right, the next item, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Nobody else is here. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council?
I move to approve the consent agenda as is.
Second. Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Davis to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Ms. Baker, will you please read the two ordinances?
Judge. Number 012
2017. Ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Chapter 18.12 of Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, Downtown Commercial Zone, updating and modifying the zoning and land use development standards for city's downtown commercial zoning district, entering legislative findings, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Ordinance 2017, ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, extending for an additional 1 year period the temporary elimination of fees for certain permits associated with development in the downtown area and fixing the time when the same shall become effective.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to new business item number one. This is AB 17085, Introduction 2018-2023 Transportation Improvement Plan. Mr. Peterson.
Agenda Bill 17085, which is the introduction of the 2018 to 2023 Transportation Improvement Plan. From at this time, once a year, every year, we are required by our RCWs to go through and adopt a new transportation plan that gives us, if you will, a six-year radar on street projects we want to do. There, but it didn't jump over there. Just for the second. I don't think I'm actually on the power. Okay. Yeah, see if it I can turn that screen around and you guys can look, but I'll try and get it to actually change up there too.
Brad can do it.
It's changing on the monitor, but not on the LCD. That's weird. Slideshow, though.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm on the slideshow. I'm on some.
That's right.
We called last time I was up here. I was having the same problem, so it was just me and projectors.
Why is that one still up there? That one.
Do you want to go ahead and walk us through the Mr. Peterson, we have the PowerPoint presentation in the packets. If you'd like, you can just go ahead and walk us through the paper version.
Sure thing.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
More press.
Hopefully I'll stay in.
Sorry, Bert.
That was just a test. All right, sorry for the delay. So the RCW, as I mentioned before, requires to readopt or adopt a new TIP every year. We need to have this adoption occur before July 1st of every year, and the stipulation is that it has to be consistent with our adopted comprehensive plan. And then after such adoption, we also file it with the state for concurrence. Well, in case you recall, that was the front cover of our comp plan. So, in the transportation element of the comp plan, there are two tables in the capital projects that were identified. The table on the left is the high priority project. These are ones that are traffic consultant has identified as projects need to be completed within the next 20 years to accommodate projected growth. The table on the right is a contingency project, which what I'd say might be good in terms of projecting or promoting or advancing our goals of the comp plan, but aren't necessarily needed to accommodate the traffic impacts over the upcoming 20 years. The filled-in stars on the left column are stars that we have completed, so they will no longer be on the TIP. The hollow stars, if you will, those are ones that we have identified as ones off of both of these lists that we would want to advance forward on the TIP or the upcoming 2023 TIP. I do have another slide here that.
Mr. Peterson, just a second. Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. Could you back it up?
Sure.
Just so I'm clear, the Main Street Gateway project, that's the area just before you get downtown?
From this direction? Yes, at Madison and Main Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a signal in one case and we wrap it up the other. And I thought that we had dropped the Freilands Boulevard Main Street roundabout as unnecessary. Because that's down, we have that three-way stop, that three-way stop down.
Right.
I just didn't think we were even considering that anymore.
Well, it is in the comp plan as a non-priority or not a high priority, but a contingency project. So.
Okay, but these are stats, so the stars are giving them a little bit higher priority than the contingency project list.
Right, so the TIP is a six-year radar. This comp plan is a 20-year analysis of the city. So, you know, we're looking at the immediate 6 years and we're saying, okay, these hollow stars are the ones that we're targeting as ones that we might want to focus on in the upcoming 6 years.
So if Freilands or if Monroe were to double in size or something enormous like that in 20 years, we'd be able to reconsider cutting the roundabout there.
True, but also based on the growth calculations that were plugged into the analysis of the city over the 20 years, that did not make it on the priority project list. It's still a contingency project. And the contingency project is simply something, maybe there's another reason the city would like to have that roundabout there, but it isn't critical for function.
All right, thank you. We have another question. Councilmember Cutback.
What is that additional downtown signal?
That would be putting a signal either at Lewis and Hill, or maybe Lewis Street and Hill Street intersection, or putting a signal at Fremont and Lewis Street intersection.
Okay.
And I think from the, if I recall the comp plan discussion on it, it was about promoting more pedestrian accessibility to crossing streets, have more crosswalks available.
Okay. But it's not on the transportation plan here. Didn't make it to the final?
Well, it's on the, I'm trying to figure out, what was that one? It's on the project list, but we didn't target it within the first 6 years.
Within the 6 years,
Mr. Bowser has it.
Yes.
It's also part of the, if you recall when we did the downtown plan.
Yeah.
They talked about basically taking the traffic off of Main Street, and eastbound would go through Fremont and Lewis, and westbound would go through Hill and Lewis. And so that is part of this, and if that is something that the city wishes to pursue in the future, that's why it's on the plan, the long-range plan.
The
but
long-range,
you can't do it. Washington State Department of Transportation won't let us do it until we rearrange the traffic, and they can say, yes, now you need signals there. So it's not something we can initiate by putting the signal in first.
Okay. And on the list of the transportation plan, are any of those, the funding for it comes from the benefit district, some of it.
Some of it.
And then some of it comes, I would assume, from development that occurs.
Yes.
And with development that occurs, what's the time frame that you have to use it? Is there a time frame?
10 years you have to use it. So when you coordinate that with these projects, I assume you're coordinating that 10-year plan and prioritizing them that, or the 10-year limit, prioritizing them that way also?
Yeah, that's, okay. That is it, yeah.
Okay. Just curious. All right, thanks.
Another acceptance. Mr. Powell.
Because the amount of the money is not collected for specific projects.
It's areas.
It's collected for the,
yeah.
The city has one area, so it's collected for the whole area. So you don't have, in the past we used to get, you know, $1,000 for that intersection, you know, and $2,000 for that intersection, and we had to spend it on that intersection. But when we switched to the growth management impact fees, it's okay. For the entire city, so you don't have to worry about, as long as you spend the
that money within
10 years, but you don't have to spend it on a specific project.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted. All right. That makes sense.
Any other questions or comments at this point?
Go ahead. And I don't believe we're going to have any trouble spending the money.
No. So. Well, so it doesn't find sometimes the whole project, so then it's finding the rest, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's where the rub is.
So as we develop this 2018-2023 list, these are the quarters that staff recommends, and as well as their approximate dollar value. Some of it is based on staff analysis, and some of it was the value taken out of the comp plan estimates. So, as you mentioned, some Councilmember Kutovac, you mentioned that some of the projects are funded by the Transportation Benefit District. Those are items 1, 2, and 3, which is essentially maintaining our existing street system. So in terms of, I'd say, capacity increase, that would be the fourth project on the list, and that would be the 191st Avenue extension that we have talked about previously. Number five, Chain Lake Road, Phase 2A, which is extending the sidewalk north of where it's terminated near Grand Review, extending that all the way up to the city limits to Brown Road. We do have some grants and process that we can work with on that one. So that one is at number five. Number six, we also have a recommended grant for design of the sidewalk in front of the fairgrounds, running along the north side of Highway 2 there, getting it over to the 179th intersection. Number seven was identified as an intersection that's essentially operating at a low level of service. And so the comp plan recognized putting a signal at the 147th and 179th intersection to get that intersection up to a better LOS. So that's why number seven is targeted. Number eight and number nine we've talked about also in terms of improving Oak Street off the, you know, off the end of our turning project that we just completed, improving Oak Street and improving the intersection where Oaks meets Old Owen. And then number 10, staff does recognize that there's growth up on the Chain Lake Road corridor, and so number 10 would be to focus efforts on improving capacity on Chain Lake Road.
So we've got a couple lights. Councilmember Kemp and then Councilmember Kutovac. Councilmember Kemp.
Kelsey Blueberry.
Yeah, so Kelsey Blueberry intersection is one intersection of three that define the South Kelsey corridor. And the corridor analysis pretty much looked at the corridor and its length and compares that in terms of its function instead of just focusing on discrete nodes along that segment. So you could have one node like Kelsey, which is not performing well, Kelsey Blueberry Lane intersection, and the other two nodes are performing great. The net value of it that they look at to define the corridor value will still show that it's an acceptable corridor level of service because the other two are performing great. The one isn't, the net is an acceptable level. It's kind of like 2A's in an FHSC or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
We fixed the number.
We fixed it.
Yeah. Fun.
Were you there 5 o'clock this evening?
Okay.
So I don't know
what the number you may have at this particular list, but I think it needs to stay on some priority list.
Councilmember,
Councilmember Kemp, just to clarify, it's going to go into the, we are taking it to the Planning Commission to have it added to the comp plan because it needs to be in the comp plan before it can appear on this list. And the corridor, we talked about this at the time we were doing the comp plan. There are different ways to do LOS. One is by intersection, the other one's by corridor, and the choice was to go by corridor, which is why we have the issue that we have there today. We are going to take before the Planning Commission a city-initiated amendment to the comp plan to add that intersection, those improvements that we discussed earlier this year to the comp plan. We'll get feedback from the Planning Commission, and then we'll be able to add it to the TIP. And Councilmember Cutterback, you had pointed that out when we were talking about it before. So, Councilmember Kemp, you still have the floor, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Items 2 and 3. Examples and differences.
Well, item 2 would be more of a, we'll call it a medium upgrade in terms of like a chip seal. A chip seal where you put oil and rock on the roof.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Typically, we've experienced about $3 a square yard to do chip seals in terms of a cost. Item 3 is very low maintenance, just going around with crack sealing. You'll see like black snakes along the road. That's performed by our crews. That's just preventative.
Whereas 2 would be performed by contractors?
Yes.
Okay.
And traditionally, we've contracted directly with Snohomish County Forces.
Yes.
We have the equipment and the means and methods to get it done through an ILA, interlocal agreement with them.
Okay.
All right, that's all I have. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just curious what the LOS was on number 7, the 179 pass. What is the LOS?
Well, that's a good question. I know it's no color coded. It was the worst of all the individual intersections that were modeled or analyzed in Monroe. I think it might be an E. No, it's an E.
E. Okay. And isn't that a priority? When stuff goes below the acceptable level of service, don't we have to do something about that? Like, don't we have a time frame that we have to do something about that? Brad, do you know?
No, we're pretty good.
I'm kidding.
It's sort of a general 6-year concurrency that used to be in the code, but that was removed from the code some years back. And so it's not a hard and fast rule like that anymore. That said, it used to say that you had to have it.
You had to have something or a plan.
Yeah. It doesn't say that in our code anymore.
Okay.
I have one other question. Number 4, it says North Kelsey area east-west connector, and then it says 191st. Can you clarify for me, when I think of 191st, I think more north-south?
So do I.
Okay. I just wanted to make certain my orienteering worked. So that is intended to be east-west connector, even though you and I would see that that's sort of north-south?
To me, yeah, it feels more north-south, even though there is a hook that gets you.
There is an easterly component or a westerly, depending upon your direction of travel.
Exactly.
Or a northerly component.
And or southerly. Here you go. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So this this TIP is adopted through resolution, first by having a public hearing. And this schedule up here is the next step of events, so to speak, for getting that TIP adopted this year. So the next time you'll see this will be on June 13th, coming up, the public hearing, and then the following 2 weeks is about having first and second readings and then adopting it. So other than that, my show is over.
If the Planning Commission recommends and the Council adopts the Blueberry intersection into the comp plan, would that mean that could the Council amend the TIP to include that in the current year, this year?
Yes. Well, the TIP can be amended at any time.
Okay.
As long as you follow the process of the public hearing and first reading.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all your work on this. It's exciting to see stars filled in and to realize that we're making good progress,
I think a few years ago, looking at that list, it's kind of overwhelming. But when you look at it now and see that we're making progress, it's encouraging. So thanks for all your work, staff.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead and go on to council member reports. And we'll go ahead and go down the line. Council member DeGamble.
So, yeah, I said a short one last week. We attended the marimba concert of the elementary schools and then high school, and by the time I got out, you guys were already done. So, this last week, so did get to participate in the annual community cleanup, which I thought worked great. Got us in, you know, in and out of there pretty good. About an hour worth of time. Some of it took longer, I can tell already. Mm-hmm. A little laughing.
Two.
What, more than an hour?
We can discuss it.
So were you there at first in the morning?
We'll just say this, Staff's
really in the report, yes. Okay. Well, mine was about an hour. It's always been an hour. Every time I've gone on the show, I just always pack my sunflower seed and go. Oh, yeah, it's bitten them all away.
So
that was it.
There you go. No, that's it. I'm good.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Attended the Pilot House.
The original Pilot House coffee.
That one. It's having something to do with whiskey barrels, which was really confusing me. Anyway, the mayor and his wife were there, and Mr. Lowe. Just a lot of fun. Really interesting. Learned a lot about coffee barrels. Great to see a business like that.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough. You're up.
I would hope that Mayor would give my apologies for not being able to do either the powwow or the Fallen Heroes thing Saturday. Had something. I came up today and we were leaving for California in the morning and back probably Sunday. I did want to get to the Fallen thing Saturday, but I'm not going to be able to get to it. So if you'll extend my apologies for not being there.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to go on to staff and department reports. We have finance department this evening. Ms. Hester.
I'm going to try and keep this short also. I believe it is in your packet, so we are now starting to get far enough in the year that we can start identifying trends in our monthly reports. So with April, in reviewing everything, I still feel good about where we're at. We should be at around 33%. And as noted in the report, we are pretty much either there or a little under, with the exception of three cost centers. But in looking at those three cost centers, they are real close. And a lot of that has to do with some one-time upfront costs that were paid at the beginning of the year. So they are still normalizing out and should be normaled out and actually be under budget by the end of the year. So we're good there. Revenues are also coming in as expected, or actually better than expected, especially the development revenues. And I know we've talked about that quite a bit over the last few weeks. They continue to outpace trends and expectations. I really don't anticipate that changing anytime soon. One of the things that's new to the report is the chart that I have included with regards to sales taxes. As I'm sure you guys are aware, that is our largest revenue stream to the general fund. And so that one I always like to take a look at with a little bit more fine-tooth comb, so to speak. And so what you're looking at with the analysis sheet is our history, 2013, all the way back to 2013. Part of the reason I like to have that history is I like, because as we know, sales taxes don't come in on a straight line. So it's really hard to project using straight line formulas. So basically, in looking at it, I like to see about how much of our actuals we receive in each month, which is also then illustrated by the graph that I included in your packet as well. The graph actually makes it visually very easy to see there is actually a trend each year on how the money's come in. And I think I mentioned last month, sales taxes, by the time we receive it, we're on a two-month lag. So for example, Christmas, we are getting in February, and you can see that on the graph. That is a spike month for us. It's also nice to see that each of the years, even though there's different amounts in each year, it tends to follow the same trend. So using that trend on the actual spreadsheet itself, a little more than halfway over, I kind of figured out then what is the average that we get in every given month. And so instead of using a straight line to project what I want to see come in each month, I use these percentages. Even with that, in taking a look at what our actuals have been against those percentages for budget, we are ahead of the game for this year as well. As of the end of April, we're ahead by $143,000 than what would be budgeted as expectation using this non-straight line method. So the next step at the mayor's request is to start really isolating the construction, what's associated with construction, so we get a better feel of what our ongoing sales taxes are versus our one-time. Even though construction has been coming in every year, it is good to know the nature of our revenues so that we don't inadvertently start staffing up all our operations against revenue that may start slowing down as sales may slow down. So that is our revenues and our expenditures. I just wanted to also bring to your attention, again, I think I've mentioned this, we are going to be doing a passport day on June 10th here at City Hall from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The ladies are actually real excited about doing this, and we're actually starting to have a little pool within finance as to how many people we think we're going to get to come in, so we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, we will have to close the doors at 1 o'clock. We will continue to serve whoever's inside the building at that time, but we're not going to be able to let anybody else in after that because we do have to get everything to the post office by their drop-off time. So we want to make sure we can process everybody that's in the building. And then also wanted to give you a heads up. We have received the first reach out from the auditors with regards to information as they're gearing up for our annual audit. In fact, this week I also received the second request for all the database out of our Springbrook system so they can start doing their working papers and figure out what their audit plan is going to be. So I expect them realistically sometime in July to be here and parked on site. So, and with that, Mr. Mayor, any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Hatzer. Outstanding this evening. I just have a quick one. Councilmember Camp.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you can do renewals.
Pardon?
Passport renewals as well?
No. Passport renewals, we can take your picture if you need your picture done.
Okay.
But we are actually not authorized to take renewals. You can actually do that through the mail yourself. Okay. So, yeah.
You have to give up your passport, though.
We'll send that to us, so I have to mail it back.
Yeah, you have to mail it back to the federal government, and then hopefully,
I'll never see it again.
There you go.
Actually, they will send it back to you, but they'll send it back with a hole stamped in it, yeah. So it's no longer valid.
But I have to stamp a hole in myself.
I have to do this myself too. What was it? 60 days? 90 days?
Actually, you can go as far as up to a year before.
No, I mean, how long does it take to get the passport?
Oh, it's on average. They tell us to tell people 6 to 8 weeks now.
Okay. All right.
So
it's not that bad.
It's not. I didn't.
Cool. All right.
You made it.
Cool.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's go ahead.
Thank you.
Nice report.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we like these.
We like that.
All right. Out to the rest of the staff. Mr. Worthen.
To defer my time to my fellow department heads, they have staffing updates, so I'm going to let them talk about those.
Okay, so you're back clean up then.
That's it.
Mr. Farrell.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm going to have to steal some of this time. Mayor and Council. Okay, first off, the playground. There's a Facebook post. Check out City Monroe's Facebook post. The rubberized surfacing has been being installed. It's a three-day process. We've just finished day two of the 3 days. So tomorrow, the cool little patterns, duck traps and frog traps and fish and all that kind of stuff are going to be placed or created there and surfacing. It needs a two-day cure. So we hope and expect to open it up to the public by sometime late Friday afternoon.
Perfect.
So the park should be able to use this holiday weekend. The next note then is we will have a celebration Thursday, June 1st at 4 p.m. at the park.
And we'll send out invitations to all of you, as well as Park Board and other invited guests, and we'll send out a press release and get that distributed too. So mark your calendars for June 1st. Next thing is, well, this Saturday, flags start falling at 5K run walk at Lakeside Park. So the registration begins at 8:30 a.m. And then at 9:30 a.m. there's an opening ceremony. And then at 10 a.m. is when the 5K walk run starts. And that has been noticed for the potential possible quorum, so you should be good to go on that. Then, related to Snohomish County's presentation earlier tonight, I did send out emails to council about that open house invitation, and that's also been noticed as well. With the dinner invite on Friday evening, I spoke with Anik, and I'll get that information and send it out to you, and we'll also get that to us. And that was it. I think that's a good time. Staff. Okay. So we have our last seasonal hire of the season is Orville Pearl, who had retired over a year ago, but he wants to keep watering the flowering baskets downtown. So we got him back in the fold for our seasonal work this summer.
More.
That's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Farrell? Seeing none, Mr. Swanson.
So we also have staffing news. June 5th, our new full-time permanent tech will start. And we actually received an applicant above and beyond what we expected. And so she has actually a degree in landscape architecture, worked with peers in that, and then started at a city along the I-5 corridor as a permanent tech. And so this is kind of her hometown, home base. And so she, should be starting June 5th, which is excellent. And the next one, we talked about the current development map and posting that and getting out there to the public, and that is now posted on Facebook.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Swanson? Ms. Hasser, anything further?
Nothing else tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Bauberg?
Yes. The employment front of our lab analyst down at the wastewater treatment plant is retiring after many, many years. And so 22 years. And we actually had interviews of another lab analyst, and so we have someone to take her place, and they'll be starting June 1st. So we won't have a break in continuity there. So, and then the other one is we've had the interviews of the design build teams for the public works building, and we've selected a team, and we're now going into the negotiation process to get a contract with them to begin that construction project. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Cowper? I see none. Mr. Worthen.
They covered them all, so we're good.
That was good. Okay, you've got Monroe this week there in your packet. So feel free to go ahead and take a look at that. And Mr. Mosley.
No lobbyist report today. As you know, the first special session has ended today, actually. And I believe the governor is going to call them back in for a second special session today. This afternoon. So there's nothing on the Olympia front to report. In terms of the draft agenda on the 6th, first of all, you'll notice there's no meeting next Tuesday, the 30th, Tuesday, so no meeting next week. On the 6th, we have actually two meetings. We have our regular business meeting, and we have the transportation and business district meeting immediately following that.
Bowl.
Pardon me?
Bowl, not the door.
Bowl. So we can follow, yeah, follow. There are actually several tentative things here. One is the lien on the 179th Avenue sidewalk, the BNSF construction agreement signing, and the interlocal agreement on missing children's task force. Those are tentative. authorizing the mayor and pro tem to sign the grant agreement for the outdoor recreational equipment that we received in cooperation with the Boys and Girls Club. And then it looks as though we will, in fact, have the interlocal agreement on the Snohomish County for our social worker services also on the agenda for the 6th. So that's it.
Okay, thank you. Questions, comments? Councilmember Gamble.
I'll be at the Finance Human Resource Committee on the 6th this fall. I have a conflict that night. It will be late.
Okay. So you're going to be late on the night of June 6th?
June 6th, that's correct.
Okay.
So I won't be able to make the Human Resource, Finance Human Resource meeting, which I believe Mr. Nancy is our illustrious chair. Are you going to be, you still have a warm, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I'll be right.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I know it's not on the list here, but the meeting following the June 27th. I will be out of state, not business.
We will note that for the agenda.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? If there is no further business required this evening, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Camp, second from Councilmember Gantry. Any discussion on the meeting? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, but it passes 6-0. Thank you very much for your service. Have a great evening. Adjourn.